निमित्ते सति सर्वत्र जलादावपि पुरुषः आत्मनश्च परस्यापि इदं पश्यति नान्यदा निमित्ते सति सर्वत्र जलादावपि पुरुषः आत्मनश्च परस्यापि इदं पश्यति नान्यदा निमित्ते. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others, just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested in water, in oil, or in a mirror. Please repeat after me. Only because of different causes does the person see a difference between himself and others. Just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested on water, on oil, or in a mirror. Hari Bol, Shriniketan Prabhu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The spirit soul is one, the supreme personality of Godhead, manifested in Swamsa and Bivinnansa expansion. The jivas are Bivinnansa expansion. The different incarnations of the supreme personality of Godhead are Swamsa expansion. Thus, there are different potencies of the supreme Lord, and there are different expansions of the different potencies. In this way, for different reasons, there are different expansions of the same one principle, the supreme personality of Godhead. This understanding is real knowledge, but when the living entity is covered by the upadhi or designated body, he sees differences, exactly as one sees different reflections of oneself on water, on oil, or in a mirror. When something is reflected on the water, it appears to be moving. When it is reflected on ice, it appears fixed. When it is reflected on oil, it appears hazy. The subject is one, but under different conditions, it appears differently. When the qualifying factor is taken away, the whole appears to be one. In other words, when one comes to the Paramahamsa or perfectional stage of life by practicing Bhakti Yoga, he sees only Krishna everywhere. For him, there is no other objective. In conclusion, due to different causes, the living entity is visible in different forms as an animal, human being, demigod, trees, etc. Actually, every living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 5:18, therefore, it is explained that one who actually sees the spirit soul does not distinguish between a learned brahmana and a dog, an elephant or a cow, pandita samadarshina. One who is actually learned sees only the living entity, not the outward covering. Differentiation is therefore the result of different karma or fruitive activities. And when we stop fruitive activities, turning them into acts of devotion, we can understand that we are not different from anyone else, regardless of the form. This is only possible in Krishna consciousness. In this movement, there are many different races of men from all parts of the world participating. But because they think of themselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not differentiate between black and white, yellow and red. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the only means to make the living entities free of all designations. Nimitte sati sarvatra jaladavopi purushaha atmanascha parashyapi bhidam parshati nanmada. Only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others, just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested in water, oil or in a mirror. So this chapter is entitled as Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumaras. Who are the Kumaras? The Kumaras are the four sons of Brahma, four very great personalities. They look just like four little boys. They look just like 5-year-old boys. But actually they are the first four sons of Brahma. In this universe, practically they are one of the most senior-most personalities. I think we should let it go down. Okay. And then twist that. What is that? And here it has been pointed out
that
there is only one personality,
and that one personality
is expanded into many. Eka means one, and Bahu means many, and Shyam means one became many. So who is that one? Who is that one person? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And he became many. How did he become many? He expanded himself as Swamsa and Vibhinnaksha. Swamsa means swa, means his own. And Ansha means part or expansion. Krishna expanded as himself. What is that expansion like? Those expansions are like, first Krishna expanded himself as Balaram. Then from Balaram, the Chaturbhuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then from this Sankarshan, this Chaturbhuha is the Chaturbhuha of Dwarka. In Dwarka, Krishna becomes Vasudev, Balaram becomes Sankarshan, and then Krishna's son or Krishna's expansion is Pradyumna, Vasudev's son is Pradyumna, and his son is Aniruddha. Then from this Dwarka, Sankarshan expands different Narayans in Vaikuntha.
And then from this Narayan expands Vishnu. Narayan also has Chaturbhuha, and this Chaturbhuha Narayan, Sankarshan, expands Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And then Shirodakshaya Vishnu is in each universe, residing. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu also is in each universe. The Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from him, from his navel, expands a lotus, and that lotus is actually the 14 planetary. And then, in the lotus is situated Brahma. And then, in the universe, there is one area called milk ocean. And in milk ocean, there is a region called, there is an island called Shvetadvip. So, in that Shvetadvip resides the Lord as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And he is the super soul of all living entities. And in that universe, all the incarnations that appear is an expansion of Kshirodakshaya. So in this way, Krishna actually expands in his Swamsa expansion. Swamsa means Krishna himself, but expanding into many. Like Balaram is Krishna himself, Shankarshan is Krishna himself, Vasudeva is Krishna himself, Narayan is Krishna himself, Nishingadev is Krishna himself, Mahavishnu is Krishna himself, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is Krishna himself, Shirodakshaya Vishnu is Krishna himself. Then all different incarnations are also Krishna himself. Same Krishna in form.
Now who are those insignificant portions of Krishna? Who are they?
The spiritual. Jivatma. We are the infinitesimal expansion. Like qualitatively we all are same as Krishna. But quantitatively we are different. Qualitatively Krishna is Satchidananda. Qualitatively Jivatma is also Satchidananda. Satchidananda means eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Not full of bliss. Because it's infinitesimal is somewhat conscious and somewhat joyful. But quantitatively, Krishna is absolute in the Atman mind. Right? And in this way, Krishna expands. The Prabhupada is pointing out that this living in that different expansions of Krishna is actually taking place into different circumstances, due to different circumstances. Just as our own reflection in a pool of water is moving, so it seems that our reflection is also moving. In a slab of ice, that reflection is static. In a pot of water, that reflection is hazy. And in a mirror, it is more clear. But these are all reflections. The one face is being reflected in different areas, in different ways. But so then Prabhupada is saying that when those media of reflections are removed, then what do we see? Then we see the person as he is. So similarly, due to our illusory state of existence, due to the illusion cast upon us by Maya, we are seeing all the difference. he has seen different living entities, different forms, and we are relating to them differently. But by practicing devotional service, when our vision becomes clear, when we attain the Paramahamsa stage, then we do not see the difference. Then we see the unity. Thabor jangam dekhe, na dekhe tar murti, sarvatra sphuraye tar ishta dev smriti. This verse has been quoted in the previous purport. Although he sees trees, mountains and other living entities moving here and there, he sees all as the creation of the Supreme Lord, and with reference to the context, he is only the creator and not the creator. So this is the Achintya Bhidhava Darshan. It is not that he sees Krishna everywhere, but he sees Krishna's creation everywhere. It is not that he sees a dog and he embraces, "Oh Krishna, I love you." The Mayavadis think that. The Mayavadis misunderstand that. They think a dog is Krishna, a Hanuman, a monkey is Krishna, a tree is Krishna, a snake is Krishna. No. He sees Krishna through them. Just like you see the painting of some big painter, some famous painter, Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci. And in the painting, what do you see? Behind the painting you see, oh, this is Michelangelo. Don't you see Michelangelo behind that painting? So similarly, a devotee sees Krishna behind his creation. Through his creation, he sees Krishna. And he sees the living entity, the living past and passing of Krishna in the different forms. He sees how dear this each single past and passing of Krishna is to Krishna. And he reacts reciprocally to them. Like if you are, if there is a very big man, and you come across his son, how you treat his son? Will you treat his son in an ordinary haphazard manner? No. You will treat his son also very, very respectfully, or with lot of care. Therefore, a devotee sees Krishna's creation and Krishna's living being, Krishna's parts and parcels, as very dear to Krishna, and they deal with, and he deals with them accordingly. Oh, this is Krishna's children. This is Krishna's parcels. So that is how a devotee sees. Then Prabhupada is pointing out due to different causes, the living entity is visible in different forms as an animal, human being, demigods, trees, etc. Actually, every living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is explained that one who actually sees the spirit soul does not distinguish between a learned Brahman and a dog, an elephant, or a cow. So he sees his a devotee, a Paramahamsa devotee, is situated in proper knowledge. So in one hand he sees Krishna and Krishna's expansion, then he sees Krishna's creation, and in Krishna's creation he sees Krishna's parts and parcels. Therefore it is achinta bheda abheda. Inconceivably one and different. Not that everything is one. Although it says that one personality has become an eko bohushyam, one has become one. But that doesn't mean that everything is one. That is Krishna's achinta shakti. It is inconceivable. You cannot understand how it's possible. Can we expand into many and retain our original identity? Can we expand ourselves in our parts and then remain the same conscious being? No. It happens in a way in a material nature sometimes. In a way, not quite the same. Because material nature is a reflection. And Krishna expands himself just like that. He becomes Balaram, he becomes Chaturbhuja, he becomes Narayan, he becomes Vasudev, he becomes Vishnu, different incarnations. And he also expands into innumerable parts and parcels. And they all are complete and perfect. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Krishna is perfect and complete. So his expansion, whether it is Swamsa expansion or Vidhinnaksha expansion, they are also perfect and complete. And his creation also is perfect and complete. Everything in his creation also is perfect and complete. So that is Krishna. But how do the living entities expand in the material nature? The living entities expand as their offspring, their children. Through the mother, father gets the son, and the father says, oh, this is my expansion. And he is in love with his son. Oh, my son, I won't survive without you. So that is how Krishna's nature is reflected into this material nature. Krishna's qualities are reflected in the material nature. But a Paramahamsa devotee, he sees, doesn't see the external material creation. He sees the spiritual being. Actually, what is this material nature? Material nature is a combination of spirit soul or Krishna's spiritual energy and material energy. Matter and spirit becomes combined, isn't it? What is your body? It is matter, but it is conscious, isn't it? So this body actually has developed the spiritual self. Matter doesn't have consciousness. Is there any matter that is conscious by itself? No. But we all are conscious. The animals are conscious. The trees are conscious. The reptiles are conscious. These are all, we are all conscious. Although our bodies are matter, we are matter. This body is made of matter. The tree is made of matter. The bird that is flying, its body is made of matter. The animal
is made of matter.
Now they are all matter,
but they all are living. So how come the matter became alive? How did that happen? How did the matter become alive? The matter became alive because of the presence of the spirit soul. So material creation means Krishna's spiritual energy and material energy become blended together. Abhakta dini bhutani bhakta madhani bhara. Abhakta nidhanan neva tatra dapari deva. Krishna is telling Arjuna that this material nature was unmanifest before. In the middle it has become manifest. And in the future also it will become unmanifest. So why lament? Our life is also like that, isn't it? The body was not there. Then at some point we got the body. For some time we maintain the body. And then we give up the body and go away. Why lament? Now how come this body become alive? How come this material nature become manifest? Because of the presence of the spirit, of the spiritual energy. So, the spiritual energy of Krishna becomes very nicely gelled together in the material nature. And what causes that gelling? What causes that binding between matter and spirit? Do you know? What actually is the cause of that binding? What causes that binding? No. False ego. False ego is the factor that binds. I am this body. Be careful how you deal with this body. If you insult this body, then I will be very offended. And don't come in Vaishnava Parada. So that's how one feels. I am this body. And when I become this body, then I fail to see the spirit. The spirit soul's consciousness is becoming projected through the body. False ego, my intelligence and my. But devotional service actually teaches us or trains us to become separate from the body by giving up our false ego. How often do we say, I am not this body? How many times you remember? At least, how many of you have said at least once that you are not your body? Raise your hand. Or you told others, you are not your body, Prabhu. But did you really realize that? Something just, a small, pin pricks our finger and says, oh, why are you hurting my body? Why are you hurting me, Prabhu? Right? So although we say we are not this body, but anything, when something happens to the body, we immediately respond. It's happening to me. I'm not feeling so well today. What does it mean? I am my body and the body is not feeling so well today. I am very happy today. My body got a lot of self gratification, so I am very happy today. So this is how we react. But Krishna consciousness is actually a process of getting rid of our false ego. The devotional service means getting rid of our false ego. And if we practice this process properly, then we will become free from false ego. And when you become free from false ego, then matter will be separated from the spirit. How does it become separated? An example is given. Dry coconut is a green coconut so tightly tied together with the kernels, right? But when it becomes dry, it is inside the coconut, but it is separate. You shake it, you will hear the sound that is separated. So that's what happens to a pure devotee. A pure devotee is his false ego is completely sacrificed to Krishna. And that is the meaning of surrender. Devotional service means surrender. And when we surrender, we get rid of our false ego. When we get rid of our false ego and become servant of Krishna, then our intelligence automatically becomes engaged in devotional service. Then our intelligence becomes buddhi yoga. Devotional service. Or intelligence that can figure out how to render service unto Krishna. And then our mind is always absorbed in thinking about Krishna. So when that happens, then one does not really identify himself with the body. At that time he is, although he is living in the body, apparently material body, but he is not in the body, he is not actually his body. Then two things regarding that Prabhupada says two things. In one hand Prabhupada is saying that then his body is spiritualized. Then his apparently material body also becomes spiritual. Just as when iron is kept in fire, it becomes red hot. Then is it fire? Is it fire? Yes. So similarly, the body, although material, becomes spiritualized due to the contact of the pure spirit. And at that time, it is considered that he is Jivan Mukta. Although he is in his body, but he is liberated. Jivan Mukta Savuchyata. He is called a liberated soul. Now, what kind of liberation is that? That liberation is called Sarup Siddhi. For perfection of his spiritual identity. But still he is in his material body. So as long as the body's longevity is there, he will stay in the body. But when the time will come, actually the body is a gift of nature. The body is a gift of nature. So one honors the gift. So as long as the nature says, okay, this body's duration is 100 years, or 50 years, or 500 years, 5,000, whatever the duration is, as long as the nature wants, Mother Nature wants him to remain in the body, he stays in the body. And when the body falls, when the body is supposed to die, body's longevity is finished, then he leaves the body and goes back to the spiritual stage. And that stage is called Vastu Siddhi, the perfection of the in substance. And then what happens to his body? It's not that he doesn't have his material body. He has his body. And he leaves his body behind. Like, it's not that a pure devotee doesn't die. Your devotee doesn't die. His body dies. That means he lives the body. An example is Dhruva Maharaj.
You remember the story of Dhruva Maharaj when he was leaving his body?
Or when he was leaving this planet? A chariot came from Vaikuntha to take Dhruva Maharaj. And when Dhruva Maharaj was about to board into the chariot, he saw death standing there with folded hands. Please, have mercy on me. And what did Dhruva Maharaj do? Dhruva Maharaj placed his feet on the head of death. And he used death as a stepping, as a step to climb the chariot. So he placed his foot on the head of death, and death was very pleased. Oh, I received the mercy of the dear devotee. Now my life is perfect. And he got into the chariot. So pure devotee is not subject to death, but he shows mercy on the death. He bestows his mercy upon death. So this is the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. We are conditioned, but if we practice the process properly, then we will become purified. We will become persons. Now the question is whether we will practice this. And the practicing also is very easy. Practicing is surrender. Just surrender. And is it difficult to surrender? Is it difficult to surrender? Actually, to surrender is very easy. To not surrender is difficult. Did you ever see a wrestling match? Two pahlwans are fighting. Right? And what is the condition? The condition is that whoever surrenders, he will lose. Right? So they are struggling not to surrender. But if one of the wrestlers is intelligent enough, and he says in the beginning, well, I surrender, then he won't have to struggle. Right? And the condition is he falls on his back. In wrestling match, the condition of surrender is your back touches the floor. Then you surrender. Now, is it difficult to surrender? No. It is difficult to wrestle. And especially when you have to wrestle with Krishna. Who can ever win in a match with Krishna? But we are doing that. We are saying, we have decided we are not going to surrender. Who is Krishna? Who is God? If there is any God, that's me. And everything is actually meant for my enjoyment. And I will make all kinds of arrangements to enjoy in this material nature. I will show that I am the King of Kings. I actually possess everything. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. And with this attitude, what we do? We struggle day and night. From 9 to 5 in the office, struggling to get a few rupees. But we are saying, I am the boss. Working like a dog, to enjoy like a hog. And he thinks that he is the proprietor. He is the lord and master.